a special holiday edition of the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 17th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB. Today we sit down with Adam Greenblatt, the CEO of BetMGM, which is one of the three top sports betting and iGaming sites in the U.S., on how he sees his company growing over the next few years. Today's podcast is sponsored by IGT, where the cat's out of the bag. IGT's Prosperity Link wins gold in his named slot product by GGB's Gaming and Technology Awards. Get this top performer on your floor. Learn more at IGT.com/prosperitylink. Come with us and find the pleasures of a journey to the center of the mind. BetMGM is a partnership in the U.S. between MGM Resorts and the British gaming company Entain. In 2018, when Adam Greenblatt took over as CEO, there was something of a divide between the two, but his previous expertise in finance and M&A made a difference, and today he says the relationship couldn't be better. BetMGM is consistently one of the top three sports betting websites in the U.S. and moving up every month, but the strict compliance regulations in every state means that must be job one to every operator, and with the recent seamless launch of BetMGM into the Canadian province of Ontario bears that out. He spoke with GGB managing editor Jess Marquez in December.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Global Gaming Business Podcast. I am your host, Jess Marquez, and I'm thrilled to be joined this morning by Adam Greenblatt, CEO of BetMGM, who also happens to be one of our 25 people to watch for next year. Adam, first off, congratulations, and second, how are you doing today?
Well, first off, thank you very much, and I'm very well, actually talking to you from London, back home for a brief holiday in anticipation of Christmas.
Nice. Yeah, I'll be headed down there for ICE come February. So first off, you know, I'm sure, you know, you obviously, I'm sure in your capacity, you talk a lot about, you know, the present or the future. But for our purposes, I'd actually like to take a quick step back if we could. Mm-hmm. So just in preparing for this and researching a little bit, you know, I noticed that you have a background in high level finance, which is kind of a common theme sort of amongst gaming executives. I found that a lot of them have that experience. But so how did that kind of prepare you for the rest of your career, especially as you transitioned into the gaming industry?
Look, I'd respond in two main categories. Look, there's the first of the generic, well, what is finance? I was an M&A banker, mergers and acquisitions banker for many years at Rothschild in London.
Okay.
And I focused on the gaming and leisure space, mm-hmm. But had actually quite a broad range of experience. And so what I think, what it offered, what it gave me an insight into, it was an understanding, I think, of what motivates professionals and how decision-making works in businesses. I think, look, at being in the most senior role at BetMGM, that's become incredibly important, you know, when you consider things like stakeholder management, shareholder management, asset allocation, setting strategy. These were all very fundamental to building equity stories for our clients, pitching new clients. So that was an important learning. I think also what I took was an appreciation of the value drivers in different industries and businesses. So what actually really makes a difference? And I think having such broad coverage allowed me to develop some, I hope, versatility of thought and also an appreciation for the differences between businesses. And then, of course, as an M&A banker, you know, the old sweatshop, expectation is right. You know, appreciate the value of hard work, and you know, as a young banker, you really are pushed hard. So start to understand the boundary of one's potential. But more specifically to me, having worked in gaming, as I said, as a banker focused on the gaming sector, rather, it is very useful to have history and context of the industry, the journeys of more mature markets. And why is that important? For me, I think it speeds up decision-making in our business at BetMGM. It allows us to avoid repeating some of the errors of the past. And with an established global network, we have actually quite interesting and powerful reach. And look, as a practical matter, and maybe this can lead into the next question, as a practical matter, one of my clients, who's a dear friend and a wonderful human being, actually employed me into the gaming sector. So it was, you know, that was my bridge into client side, if you like.
Gotcha. And what, you know, the history aspect of it too is very interesting. I hadn't considered that part of it. And, you know, as we, you know, kind of transition to the next question is now, obviously you just eclipsed 4 years as CEO of BetMGM, which I'm sure, you know, given how the industry moves, I'm sure that feels like a decade. So just kind of generally, and you can take this kind of any way you wish, honestly, when you think of the kind of peaks and valleys that have happened during that time, which I'm sure there have been many, but what are some of the kind of, you know, the bigger successes and challenges that kind of pop out in your mind when you think about, you know, these last 4 years? Obviously, you know, I'm sure there's many, but what are some of the few that really stand out?
Yeah, Jess, well, I mean, it might surprise you to say when I started this journey, I had a full head of hair. That's just no. It does actually feel like dog years. It feels like this is the way it has always been. You know, it's what a journey. It feels like it, you know, in those Star Trek scenes where the spaceship goes into hyperspeed and the stars start flashing past you. It's like that. But amazing. Absolutely wonderful. I wouldn't change it for anything, but it hasn't been easy. It hasn't been easy by any means. Look, one of the first challenges that I personally faced was establishing myself as a credible leader. All right. I was the strategy and corporate development director previously with one of my shareholders, then GVC. So I had not had the top job before. So I think one of my personal challenges was winning the acceptance and trust of MGM Resorts, my other shareholder. You know, I was the guy from GVC, which is now Entain, the JV partner who was the face of negotiation, arguing on the other side of the table. Mm-hmm. And so to transition from that role into living and breathing and advocating for BetMGM in the middle only, that took a bit of time. But happily, I think relationships couldn't be better today. Navigating COVID was a huge challenge. You know, disseminating culture and values as we grew from 135 staff at the beginning of COVID to today, over 2,000 colleagues worldwide, and really making every part of the BetMGM community feel like part of the community, feel like one of us, and understand what that means. That was hard. And then the last dimension I'd point to is the complexity of the state-by-state model and the nature of US-style regulatory oversight, which is just different from everywhere else in the world. And impacts every aspect of the business. So the way you build needs to build towards that use case. So it affects product and marketing and payments, compliance, VIP management, allocation of capital, you know, different tax rates, different products allowed in different states affect how we go to market and how we serve that market. So really complex. But there have been a lot of successes, Jess. A lot of successes, and I'm just you know, to be awarded one of Glassdoor's best employers, so terrifically gratifying. We've won multiple awards for being the best casino operator. In fact, just last week, won another Operator of the Year for casino. But also, we poll our staff quarterly. We survey our staff, and in our most recent survey, I'm also very gratified to say that 93% of BetMGM employees would recommend us as a great place to work. And, you know, that's, people spend their lives with us. You know, the majority of their awake time is in our environment. And so this is, for me, offering our colleagues an enriching and gratifying, satisfying and fun place to work is part of what we're here for, I think. More tangibly, we broke through $1 billion of revenue just as we moved through the third quarter, which was a real buzz, actually, because, you know, just 4 years ago, as you mentioned, it was nothing. It was a few contracts and an idea. And so $1 billion of real revenue is quite a thing. And the last point I'd say, there was one night I was sitting at home alone I was on LinkedIn. It was the middle of 2021. And one of the most credible industry analysts had left a message, or had posted a message. And the message was this: if there were two before, now there are three. And that was, for me, the moment where the relevance and potential of BetMGM was appreciated. And that to me was the moment where we were now in the game.
Definitely, definitely. And you kind of touched on this just briefly, but, you know, I can't help but think that, you know, the role of a CEO is obviously a very complicated and very nuanced one, but especially when you consider that, you know, you're in an industry where, as you said, the regulations change so dramatically by market, not just by state in the U.S., but also obviously by different countries. What's that been like to kind of, you know, have to deal with those considerations, and kind of, do you feel that your team spends a lot more time in, like, let's say, R&D than the majority of people in your position?
Yes, it's an interesting one. There are a few parts to that question. So look, what we appreciate very deeply at BetMGM is that gaming licenses are a privilege, not a right. And so we organize ourselves around with a compliance first mentality. We have to get it right. We want to do things by the book. And I think that's very, very important to ensure sustainability of the business and the relevance, therefore, of BetMGM. Now, I think what's underappreciated is how different every state is. And so for us, now live in 24 states and 25 jurisdictions, it's like 25 different countries. So for us, you know, we launched in Ontario earlier this year. And while difficult and new, frankly, wasn't that difficult and that new, because every state is difficult and new. So we've got pretty good at now homologating for that newness. In terms of R&D, we are privileged. We, BetMGM, have the privilege of the relationships that we have with our shareholders, BetMGM and Entain. Why? Because we enjoy the benefit of their collective investment in research and development. So Entain is one of the largest online betting and gaming companies in the world, own our proprietary technology that we use in the US and Canada. Spend a lot of money every year on exactly this. So what we have in our relationship is something I view as symbiotic, where BetMGM, being closest to our US market, defines here are the important things that to go after. We supplement that with Entain's global insights. And the thinking being, and the objective, of course, is to bring best of breed to the US market. And of course, we enjoy it through Entain. We operate on a single global code base. And so things that are developed, for example, for bwin in Italy, we have the benefit of using off the shelf. And the way that the code base is built is feature toggle on, toggle off. So if it fits, awesome. If it doesn't fit, no drag, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
The cat's out of the bag. IGT's Prosperity Link wins gold, named the best slot product by GGB's Gaming and Technology Awards. A top game performance since being released, Prosperity Link features the player favorite lock and respin bonus and the exciting free games bonus with either scatter or multiplier wilds. Prosperity Link will drive players to your floor with his popular game mechanics. Grab this exciting game while it's hot. Learn more at igt.com/prosperitylink.
I'd like to pivot for a second to the U.S. market specifically, where obviously I know you guys have a very expanding foothold. But so I want to talk a little bit about iGaming. It's something that, you know, I always kind of joke around with a lot of the people I talk to, and that, you know, I do all these different stories and I do, you know, I talk to all these different people from around the industry. And yet somehow the conversation seems to come back to iGaming more often than not. Sometimes it feels like all roads lead to it. And yet in the U.S., obviously, it's expanding much slower than other sectors of the industry. What do you think are kind of some of the challenges that are facing iGaming in the U.S., and how quickly do you see the industry kind of expanding into new jurisdictions?
Mm-hmm. So we're delighted that all roads lead back to iGaming, because as the far and away market leader in iGaming, you know, more iGaming is good for BetMGM. So that's good. Look, why is it? So first, the facts. Of course, sports betting came out of the gates much more quickly. iGaming has been more difficult. We currently serve five different states and markets. We believe we are the largest in Ontario. We are the largest in Michigan. Nationally, we are the largest. Why has it not gone faster? Well, as you know, it's a more complex stakeholder environment. And there are, if you like, carried biases.
Mm.
Or views that are carried that are frankly both incorrect and also outdated. What do I mean by that? iGaming spells the end of the land-based gaming industry. And so some of those land-based operators are a source of resistance, and also given their ability to invest in political opposition, that kind of creates more of a logjam. Now, our job as an industry, as BetMGM, is to demonstrate that, number one, it's happening anyway. If a US consumer wants to play casino online, there are a myriad of illegal, unlicensed, offshore operators to provide them that service. So you accept that, and we are, again, you know that we're missing out on tax revenue, we're missing out on all of the player protection benefits, the compliance objectives that frankly just A, money left on the floor, B, harm to players. Then you look at the future. Protectionism doesn't, I'm a free marketeer personally, you know, very much to my core, right? And protectionism over time doesn't sustain. You know, market distortions do not prevail over time. And so you put those things together, again, the destination is more iGaming. And then the last fallacy is, well, you know, iGaming, linked to the first, well, this cannibalization argument. What we've shown is, in aggregate, the introduction of iGaming means that the land-based and online, in aggregate, grows the pie. Yes, there is some marginal redistribution, but if that is going to happen anyway, rather participate than seek to protect in an unsustainable way. And that's our challenge. You know, we have to make sure that it's legalized in a way that protects our players, that creates a sustainable tax generating environment. And we have to allay the fears of the naysayers. And I think we will see more, and I think we will see more momentum for iGaming adoption. We will be focusing on two or three key states in the next 12 months where we think there's a reasonable, you know, fair to reasonable to good even chance of seeing iGaming being adopted.
I see. Well, you know, I just have to tell you personally, I mean, I'm privileged to talk to a lot of people around the industry, most of whom are much more senior than I, and I can tell you that as somebody from, you know, the younger generation, I don't see any way that it's not the, you know, the next generation of gaming. And I don't see how the, you know, its expansion is not, you know, proliferated over the next few years. Just to pivot kind of quickly to sports betting, obviously you touched on that as well. Now, for all that, you know, if the progress of iGaming has been kind of sloshed, then the sports betting has taken off, you know, gangbusters. And it seems like every other week I'm writing up a new feature about, you know, another state is going live. And so what has that growth been like for you guys on your end over the last couple of years? And What are some of the challenges? Obviously, this is a very, I guess you would say, you know, there's some heavy players in the market, obviously. What's it like to take on, you know, large competitors alongside all this this growth?
Yeah, listen, it's a competitive environment, no doubt. Look, today, BetMGM enjoys a podium position. We have mid-teens market share in online sports. We absolutely have aspirations to advance that position, investing heavily in sports product development. One of the elements of our BetMGM's unique recipe has not yet been fully unlocked, and that is the area of omni-channel, and particularly the strength of MGM Resorts in Las Vegas. Mm. We see that as an incremental opportunity to our existing share position, and it will be enabled through. Look, the destination is the 7 million unique players that spend a night in MGM Resorts hotels in Las Vegas, all walk home or leave the doors of the property rather, with BetMGM's sportsbook application on their phone, right? And it's the correct one at the moment. It's a different application in the state of Nevada. They walk out with the application that is available in any one of our other digital states, Indiana, Iowa. We're not going to go through the list. So it's leave the state with the right application on your phone and your funds follow you home. Mm-hmm. So it's a seamless and continuous journey from your vacation into your place of residence or work. Mm-hmm. And so that's the destination, and that's, you know, 7 million people every year, not the same people every year. So it's a replenishing, refreshing pool. And the potential of that remains ahead of us. So it's really the big opportunities for us are around product and bringing to life the power of omni-channel.
Gotcha. And, you know, one thing that I've kind of I've noticed in my time so far with GGB is that, you know, as much as, you know, responsible gaming, just kind of, and harm minimization, they can be a little bit of a sore spot for some operators, obviously, but it's not the most popular topic, let's be honest. But you guys recently gave a sizable grant to the ICRG, the International Center for Responsible Gaming. Can you talk a little bit about that initiative and kind of what it means to you guys?
Of course. Well, first observation is responsible gaming is not a sore spot for us. I mean, for me, responsible gambling is, it's one of our strategic pillars. You know, you've got, you know, the strategic house with the pillars under. Responsible gambling is one of them. Why? Because it's our pathway to sustainability for ourselves and for the industry and for the tax base for all of our state licensors. So, you know, whether it's comfortable or uncomfortable, this is something that is a strategic imperative for us and our fellow operators. Mm-hmm. And in fact, for lawmakers and regulators, they also want to demonstrate success. Right. We've recently, along with 11 of our industry colleagues, we've set out a 12-point pledge, which underpins our commitment to responsible online gaming, and the ICRG investment and commitment is just one of the pillars of that. So what is that? One of the pillars is, look, let's really understand the data and let's respond to the data in a responsible manner. Mm-hmm. And so the investment in with the ICRG is to seek to baseline our understanding of what's going on in the area of problem gaming, against which we can continue to benchmark, measure, refine. Mm. Because our objective is that everybody that participates has a healthy and positive experience, and it's an entertainment experience. That's what we want. Mm. And that's what our players want also, mind you. Right? So we've got, as I say, 12 principles of responsible online gaming. And they cover things like protecting underage, protecting excluded players, allowing our patrons to make informed choices, unified nationwide toll-free hotlines, encouraging budget setting, encouraging limits on time and how much one spends. And there are tools in the product that give our players that help our players play in a responsible way. Is there more to do? Always. Do we want to get better all the time? And are we serious about that? Yes. Do we feel like as operators, we get a bit of a hard time and an unfair presentation in the press sometimes? Yes. But the sincerity of our commitment to this issue is unwavering.
I think that's very well said, and definitely, as you said, it's an important, as the industry grows, obviously it's an important consideration for sure. You've been great so far. I want to get you out of here on this one. I'm sure in your capacity, obviously you talk a lot about the future and sort of, long-term projections and maybe 5-year plans and 10-year plans and whatnot. But I'm curious as far as 2023 specifically, as for the next year ahead, kind of what are your goals? What are the main things that you're looking forward to? And what's your outlook?
Well, that's a big question and perfectly timed, actually. We've got, I have my board meeting tomorrow where we're presenting our 2023 business plan. So
okay.
I hope I'm not telling you anything that they then turn around and they say, no, Adam, we want to go in a different direction. what have we got coming up? We've got, expand our footprint. Mm-hmm. This is one of our guiding principles. Be live everywhere on day one to the extent we can and to the extent we can make money in that state. Right. So what does that mean in practical terms? We've got Ohio coming up. So we will be live in Ohio at the beginning of 2023. We're delighted about that because it's another MGM state. So MGM Resorts has a property in the state of Ohio. Likewise, Massachusetts coming up in the first quarter, both digital and retail. We will be live with two retail properties and a digital sports offering. So expanding our footprint, hopefully will also be, and to a smaller opportunity, but digital in Puerto Rico sometime through the 2023. We touched on it earlier in the conversation, but 2023 is the year where we really bring omnichannel to life. And what does that mean? We've got some, I think, very exciting, very cool cross-channel games and concepts coming through our iGaming business. Things like dual play, where events that are taking place in MGM's physical environment are broadcast and playable in a digital environment only at BetMGM. Interesting new concepts that create a degree of excitement and differentiation in both channels. That's we're optimistic about that. The launch of common game titles. So I'm a player. I like a particular game online. Okay, can I play it on the floor? Wow, that's good. Let me do that, and vice versa, and to extend a positive experience through across channels. That's coming. And then the thing that we are really excited about is the unification of progressive jackpots. So what does that mean? At BetMGM today, the biggest jackpots in online gaming in the US are already available, right? Now what we want to do is connect it with jackpots, progressive jackpots in MGM Resorts land-based world to create state lottery-sized jackpot potential, again, only available at BetMGM. And it's enabled by the fact that MGM is the superpower that it is. And in the online gaming space, BetMGM is that too. So that's we're quite excited about. And then, the numbers on the page, maybe $2 billion of revenue is achievable, maybe. And certainly the street expectation, as we've said before, is that we will move into profitability at some point during 2023, and we're still on charging that target, and I fully expect that to be realized.
Well, if I'm sure, if 2023 is anything like, the years that you've had so far, I'm sure it'll be eventful to say the least. So Thank you so much for joining me today, Adam. I really enjoy it. I know you're a busy guy, so I'll let you get on to whatever you need to get to. But thanks again, and congratulations.
Thank you. This was fun. Thanks a lot. Be well.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by IGT, where the cat's out of the bag. IGT's Prosperity Link wins gold and is named Best Slot Product by GGB's Gaming and Technology Awards. Get this top performer on your floor. Discover more at IGT.com/prosperitylink. To learn more about sports betting and iGaming in the U.S., visit GGBmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at GGBnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.